You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
Our day's guest, what really don't mean much of an introduction, but I'm going to introduce her anyway. Ashley Green, hardest working person I know for the community. You don't really get no better than Ashley Green. Her resume speaks for herself. If you don't know her, that means because you're probably not engaged or involved in a lot of community activity. So that would probably be why your disconnect could be there. Or just tune into your Channel 16 on your public access TV for 16P. You can always see her there. Because she's always advocating for the community. So without that, with that warm introduction, here's our guest today, Ashley Green. How are you doing today, Ashley?
Wow, I don't know how to follow that up. I think, do I need to pay you how much for that?
We'll talk about it after the show.
Okay, we'll talk about it after the show. You know, I'm very blessed to be alive right now, and I'm thankful to be here. World's spinning. Sometimes it feels like it's spinning out of control, though, so I'm very aware of what's been going on over the last few days and last few weeks in the city and in the country, and just hoping we can end 2015 with a little bit more hope for 2016.
Right. As I see yourself and several individuals out there fighting with the city in reference to the usage of the BP fund, a good $6 million can go a long way in a lot of areas. Also, I understand the city met today. The city council approving some of the usage of the funds. Give me your overall perspective of what you thought the best usage of the funds should have been.
You know, we're at a moment right now where we have sort of an unprecedented windfall of about $6.5 million from the city. And I don't expect that all of my interests are going to be fulfilled with that money. But what I'm seeing right now is a lot of people who have sort of very entrenched and institutionalized relationships with folks, grabbing at this BP money very quick, and the same people who already are getting awarded money from the city and the budget, getting awarded money for the city as far as projects, and so it's sort of business as usual. And I think that there's been a lot of great energy from some of our council members, like Darden Rice, to really slow down this process, same with Wingate Newton, and make sure that we're being very methodical and intentional with how we're spending this money, not just doing things that look politically pretty that make for really good headlines. But that's still going to take a lot of community involvement to make that a reality. The first few grabs at the BP money, I think we're smart. This is an environmental disaster that we got money from. There are some environmental concerns that need to be addressed. With our bay, to make sure that we don't have something where, you know, sewage is being dumped on the south side again. All those are great things. But I'm tired of our community being an afterthought with the money. And we are a good byproduct of how money gets spent, but we're rarely the intention for how money gets spent. And I think we got to do better about that.
Very good topic. I guess you can see where a lot of stuff in that. You know, a lot of it, what we struggle a lot is actually is the grassroots individuals such as yourself, even our producer, Brother Jabbar, and Session Bird, and you can go to a lot of people who hits the community in a lot of areas. We're not really at the table a lot when a lot of decisions, and by the time we get information so far down the pipeline, it's already going to a disbursement part. Where I get what we would need to do as we're trying to establish a lot of stuff. I know the good grassroots group that got together last night to try to curb some of the violence, got that. We need almost same group to get together on the financial tip. The same group that need to organize, so when you hear disbursements, grant opportunity, funding, something's going to go somewhere, misappropriation where you think it should be a lot of this where it's going that way. We almost got to organize the same way, but we're kind of more in the reactionary. We're like kind of defensive back. We're always backpedaling and trying to catch up with the momentum of the level. Maybe actually, how would it be to say, let's form somebody like maybe a financial task force. Anything financial that has to do with the city, we have a group that's kind of watchdogs of it, and they're informing others so they can come to the chamber, because as I'm noticing a lot of the work and the great body work a lot of y'all doing, is a few of y'all But and you're standing by the community, but very few community people behind you. Even though I'm 100% behind you, and I have all my stuff, but the city's all through proposals that some have been turned down. Some I just kind of get back up and do it. I was, and do it again. I was down in the city today, trying to submit something for another opportunity. But what were you thought? What were your thoughts on actually is of putting somebody together or getting people moved that way?
Yeah, I think. There's a lot that we can learn from how other individuals and other groups who interact with the city organize effectively. And I'm a proud labor organizer with Florida Public Service Union and a proud Dream Defender. But one of the things that I think we've been working as both organizations and with I've been working with other organizations in the community to make sure we're focusing on is building really genuine community infrastructure.
Right.
And so I think it's very easy for folks to stand up and speak on behalf of the community and speak on behalf of the community accurately and passionately.
Right.
But we're not doing the work of actually building movement and building community.
Right.
And if we're doing that and not focusing on how do we actually empower folks in our neighborhoods to know that they are just as capable and just as necessary a part of the conversation
right.
as the folks who are already standing up and talking, then we're missing something. I think the African American community and the African community in America has had sort of their list of things that they've been told we're supposed to fight for over the years. And rarely are those things actually what we know we need to fight for. It's just sort of like, all right, politically we need to fight for voting rights.
Right.
We need to fight for this, that, or the other. And I think moving forward, we got to figure out how do we create a whole community.
Right.
Economics is so critical in that.
Absolutely.
The biggest difference between us and almost every other demographic in America right now is we don't have real ownership.
No.
And you can't be politically effective in a capitalist society without ownership. Property is the root.
Yeah, we're non-stakeholders.
And so we'll always be somebody to give sort of these puff political things to and not somebody to be considered a real force.
Right.
And that's the biggest difference, I think, in terms from where we were, say, 40 or 50 years ago, where our communities, we at least own things within them.
Right.
So we're going to really have to start to get back focused in on how do we interact with the city in a way that's effective to economically redevelop ourselves.
Right.
It's our tax dollars that we're putting in, so we deserve to see those tax dollars reinvested into our neighborhoods.
Yes.
At the same time, we as a community are going to have to be a lot stronger about spending our money within the community.
Right.
I think an economic and financial task force is so critical. Everything from financial literacy to development of property to purchasing of home ownership. To making sure that our schools are real bastions of creating folks who can leave and continue to invest in our communities.
Right.
We're going to have to start to look at this in a holistic way and not in a bit-by-bit issue. And I think that's the same thing with how we approach city council, how we approach the mayor. I think we've got good people in office right now that we are not building effective relationships with to get accomplished what we need to.
That is so true. That last statement you do, actually, we have very good competent people in our administration, and we just have a very better engagement, dialogue, and more of a, for a lot of target things that we want to go to, let's have something meet behind that. It could be substantial where it don't have to be something as far as 10 years out or something. These are things you can develop. How about 2016?
Yeah.
That sounds very good. That's only a few weeks out.
Oh, it's a powerhouse year.
Absolutely. So,
it's time.
I think I would like to perform some type of platform of fulfilling a lot of needs and ways to apply an approach. I mean, I think we should have a proposal of almost everything that's done in the city.
Everything.
I don't care what place it comes in, it should be. Hey, they had, the pier had a vacancy for a restaurant. They had no responses.
Yeah.
All these at least want to have a response, at least be told no.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, maybe we're all not great restaurateurs out here, but hey, at least that would be a good problem to have. Mm-hmm. Hey, now we got this pier gone. Now let's find some outside contract we can get in to actually go in and do it.
Yeah.
That would be a good win. And which means we don't want to make sure nothing else goes out, RP, RFQs, anything, and we have zero response. Somebody from the community need to be at the table of all that. What's your thoughts on that?
I mean, I'm somebody who, I'm definitely a young person coming into adulthood and sort of exiting my idealistic phase and figuring out how can I be more pragmatic. And the work that I do while still keeping a very to be honest, a very revolutionary mindset. The way that we do things right now doesn't work. We need to be doing something different. And that's very difficult to do and convince people to be passionate about when a lot of times you're talking about reforming things, not fixing things.
Right. Hey, tune into your afternoon edition of Hard Hitting Radio. I'm again, like I say, your host Toriana Parker, along with our executive super producer Jabbar Edmonds.
Yes.
One Love Magazine. Our guest today was Ashley Green. Actually went to a lot of issues that we have for his references, money that the city had available, RP proposals, RQ, everything you can name. Our thing was going to come together, and that's what I want to share with you. With this is a short segment, but I was going to tell you about it. Was the other day we had the forfeiture awards banquet. Each year, under the old chief, it's about $30,000-$40,000 available for a lot of organizations that want to do crime prevention with youth and so forth, that you can apply for that money. Well, this year, our current police chief raised that number up to $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
So, which means, if you're in that crime prevention, I was actually talking to Session Bird last night about some things that groups like that should be in that picture, because this is what our chief said. You know how we have organizations always apply for the same money every year and they only one given.
Yes.
Our chief stated that if you're not performing with that money, we're going to remove you off that list and we're going to give another organization, another group a chance. So, which means, and our social justice, as we're looking at how crime is here, A, that's a help, especially if you're in the crime prevention now. But B, do you think there's anything else we need to focus on?
You know, I like that perspective of let's stop giving money to people who have no clear metrics of success for the work that they're doing. There needs to be real accountability for how these dollars are spent. I think more than anything, though, we look at crime in a very strange way to me. It's sort of the same way we look at homelessness. We have all these programs to address homelessness, but not to get people in homes. And I think that's been like the shift in like the homelessness movement over the last few years.
Right.
It's like, well, actually, you can start to save, you know, resolve homelessness when you get people in homes. We can start to address crime by taking away the things that make people turn to crime.
Right.
Yes, there are a few sociopathic, power-hungry, whatever folks out there that are just, you know, in the underground economy or doing criminal activities for fun. They are a very small percentage.
Right.
Most folks turn to crime as an outlet for something. Most folks turn to crime out of necessity.
Right.
So why are we not doing things with any of this money that, say, addresses the economic situation that gets people to turn to crime? If that's business incubators, great. If that's expansion of mentorship programs, great. If that's expansion of just raw dollars that goes into educational programs and youth development programs for job placement after people come out of incarceration.
Right.
If it's any of these things, we need to start taking real looks at, all right, how do we do it most effectively? It's going to be new programs.
Right.
So I like the fact that we're going to be spending money with different people and different organizations now. But we're going to have to stop sort of, you know, talking about crime prevention and like these very sort of small scale ways of, all right, if you're involved in an athletic league, that's going to keep you out of crime. Not if you're still going to go home hungry at night.
Mm-hmm.
Your next stop is like, all right, I'm really good at this, but I got to make sure I'm fed.
Right.
Got to make sure I'm taken care of. And so I'm hopeful that that's where we're going to start to shift the conversation within the city.
Right. No, I mean, I cannot say on every level you said how true it is, because like I say, a lot of people think, okay, because we had these after school program, whatever, people don't understand the environment and circumstances a lot of these kids go home to. That is where the element is at, you know. So therefore, what are we doing in that infrastructure where they're being housed at, where they live at? We don't know if the lights on at home. We don't know a lot of circumstances, so you don't know what drives youth or kids or whoever. First time you hear about a lot of kids that someone's murdered. first thing sometimes I ask is, was that kid even in school?
Mm.
I mean, these kids are 16, 17, 18, and, you know, and some of the answers probably been no.
Yeah.
And so, guys, what put these people in this situation? Was life so bad at home, or you didn't have that? Maybe you thought you'd go on the street and hustle and get it up. You know, I don't really know what their mindset is, but I know there's a lot of systemic problems facing a lot of our community, and, you know, the answers are just kind of bleak of what we just think, well, you know, we can all come together and then that's secure air ball. We got to know where with all the economic changes in that environment.
We saw, I think, a lot of economic progress and social change over a very quick period of time via post-slavery and the Reconstruction, through Jim Crow, through the Civil Rights Movement, through the Black Power Movement, and onward. And then, I'll be honest, we've sort of been in sort of this 30-year stagnation where a lot of the approaches, and I think this is just a product of the war on drugs, where we said we were just going to lock people up for private profit by the millions. We've been in this holding pattern, and we've been trying a lot of these similar approaches. So this broken windows philosophy towards policing that ultimately leaves people in the neighborhood feeling like they're an occupation.
Right.
And I'm not the one to sit here, you know, there's a lot of reasonable criticisms that people can say against it. I'm not the one to sit here and say, though, that we don't need a structure to keep ourselves accountable to one another, that we're not robbing, stealing,
right,
committing crimes, killing folks. But that structure can't be facilitated by an idea that those we entrust in power to protect us aren't actually serving us.
Right.
And right now, none of those relationships that are fostered within the community, I won't say none of them, most of them, a lot of them don't leave people feeling that way.
Right.
And we're in a national conversation about that right now. How do we leave people feeling safe? When we talk to people out in the community, when we canvass, we ask them, what would make you feel free? And you know, it's not necessarily always about a police officer. It's about, I would like to be able to leave my bike, you know, in my driveway and come back out and have it there. Mm-hmm. I would like to be out in my neighborhood after dark and not have to look over my shoulder.
Right.
That means we have to holistically change our framework for how we see each other,
right,
and how we operate in our communities. And money should go to that.
Yes.
Money should go to that.
That's going to lead us. So that's what we're going to plot for the next time, Ashley. And Jamie, me and you, we're going to get some proposals together.
Let's do it.
Ashley, how can somebody, if they want to reach you and join the energy that you're bringing, how can they reach you?
I work at Florida Public Service Union, which is located at 449 Central Avenue, Suite 104. Come through, holler at me. Best way to get in touch with me, though, is probably going to be on Facebook.
Okay.
Name is Ashley Green, and my profile photo is Black Girls Matter. I don't know what my handle is. If somebody reaches out to the show and asks for my information, I'll give my phone number and email. I don't know who's listening right now, though, and I don't need any sketchy responses. So, but I'm pretty present. Holler at your girl.
That's our girl Ashley Green, and that's before I wrap up real quick.
Oh, by the way, Bay Area Dream Defenders on Facebook. Look up Bay Area Dream Defenders on Facebook and Instagram. Check us out. We got here.
You guys heard it right here. Hey, Ashley, great show. Thank you so much for coming on. You said the one little quick thing. I want you to reference our last week's show. You said Black Girls Matter. We actually had a dark-skinned activist matter. Just want you to compare our show and look at that up. That would be good. That was Rashida Strober that was on us there.
Self-love is where it starts.
That is it. So
stop telling people you're not valuable. Stop telling people you're not worth something.
Yeah.
You can't love yourself. Like RuPaul says, how the heck you gonna love somebody else?
Hey, thanks again, y'all. You heard it, Ashley Green. We're gonna go in our third final segment. Ashley, thanks good to have you. We have our next little guest. I definitely love bringing you back on the show. And we're definitely looking forward. We're going to get together, you and I, Jabbar, and stuff. We're going to get it ready immediately to start getting some proposals together.
We're going to do some big things next
Absolutely.
Year, I believe it.
It's Hard Hitting Radio. This is your host, Toriana Parker. We'll see you in 2 minutes. Deuces. We'll be right back. Hey, how you doing? You tuned into your third edition of your hard-hitting radio on the Deuces. I'm your host again, Toriana Parker, along with my two special guests, wrapping up our session for this Thursday night, Thursday edition. I have Lakeisha to the left of me, and to the left of her is Pastor Jay. He has a real first pseudo first and last name, but you know, our kind of show is going to be Pastor Jay. Pastor Jay, how are you doing, first of all?
I'm good, man. How are you?
How are you?
I'm well, thank you. And yourself?
All right. Good. You know, like I said, we're in the hard-hitting radio, Pastor, so we bring up a lot of topics that really is, people say it, but sometimes they're afraid to say it out loud because, you know, it's an opinion. And what we've been catching a lot on, and I was talking to our producer before we came on the show, was some of the outcry people have in reference to a lot of the pastors that went up to New York to support Donald Trump, who's running for president. I've heard words as coon, other kind of words as you described, some of them puppets, tokens, you know, you can kind of, you've seen the list of it. Give me your take. You're a pastor, and also our guest, Keisha's a pastor. What is your take on that?
I don't know, man. For me, it's different. I heard about it. I really don't get into politics. I think Christianity and politics need to be separated. I think that's probably one of the biggest problems we got in society. But I will say this. Every Jesus need a Judas. So if you it all depends on what their agenda was and what they was going for. Like, I don't know them personally. I don't know what they get off into. But again, like I said, somebody need to be in that arena in order to understand what's really going on. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's almost like the guy who says, well, you in prison, how can you tell me anything? It's like, well, somebody got to come in here to tell you. So, you know, right. It's one of those type of things. If you get a puppet in that arena, I'm sorry, not puppet. If you get a pawn in that arena.
you said it now.
If you get a pawn in that arena, you got to know how to use your pawns in order to win the chess game, right?
Right.
So sometimes you got to, you know, jump out there and do what you got to do.
Would you to win?
Depends on what they let me say.
Okay. How about they just want you to be a representative of your church, and I need you to be a good backdrop for me as a candidate to look like, look at all my pastors I have supporting me.
Okay, well, I'm gonna say it like this. If I go, my stance is gonna be real clear.
Okay.
I'm crystal clear about what I mean. It's like this, man. Just because you my enemy don't mean we can't help each other.
Okay.
And even if you my friend don't mean you can help me. So it all depends on how you gonna benefit me and I'm gonna benefit you. I think one of the biggest things is people misconstrue words. If you're gonna jump into something like that, you gotta be educated.
Right.
And so if you're gonna say a word like use, now if you're gonna use, ain't no other source for a toothbrush but to be used. Right. It's supposed to be used in your mouth. That's what its job is, to be used.
Right.
But there's a word called abuse that means to abnormally use. Right. And so that's what people do. They take what they're supposed to be doing and they start abusing it. And church and politics is something that should not be abused. But if you're going to use it the way it's supposed to be used.
Right.
Now, just because you're not a Republican or you're not a Democrat or whatever it is, whatever side is going to benefit your church to push the agenda of God, then you jump into that.
Exactly.
But if you jumping into that to push a different agenda, then we got a problem, because what has happened is you sold out your Christianity for the propaganda of social media or for whoever's watching.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You sell, if you sell out, it's almost like this, and I'm gonna say it and I mean it the way that I'm saying it. I don't care who don't like it.
Okay.
The bottom line is this: if you for God, you for it. And if you not, you not.
Right.
But if you willing to compromise your relationship with God for friendship with a bunch of little white men with their pictures on green pieces of paper, then we got a problem.
Right, right. Pastor Jay, a couple things you said, some of our studio guests wishing you lived here, because that's Zach Clinton and a lot of people. So, I mean, you're hitting a nerve of people that really feel your passion and where you're coming from.
Yeah.
We just need more of it being said, as you know. I don't think a lot of people take a stance that you are, because I don't know, they have a lot of people inroads to that. They don't want to sound like,
I could do a photo op because you want my vote.
Right.
No, my vote is not for sale.
Right.
Neither are my congregation or my people. They're not for sale. Oftentimes we buy into what Massa has said, and we have, listen, I think that we forget that it wasn't the white people that kidnapped us. We were offered by other tribes. We forget that. And so what black pastors coming saying they represent us, you're basically handing me off to Massa. And I'm tired of being raped by Massa. I'm tired of him making me promises in the dark and denying me in the light.
Right.
So, and if you can't come out with an agenda to say, this is what we spoke about. First of all, if there, this is a presidential candidate, and he has a position on an issue that matters to me as a clergy. I'm a woman of God. I'm a businesswoman, all the other stuff. But first of all, I'm a woman of God. And the first thing you have to be is above board. There's nothing we should be able to do in secret that's going to affect all of us.
Right.
It should be done in open. Am I right about it?
Mm-hmm.
So if you have something that's affecting the masses, let's talk about it openly.
But I think...
Give me secret kisses and tell me we're in love.
No, I don't think it's the secret kiss. I think it's more or less of the fact. And let's be honest, because I agree with what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But let's be crystal clear. Everybody don't deserve to eat at the round table. I don't care what color you are, period. Black, white. There's some people...
But you got to give me what the round table is.
No, and I'm okay with that. But
the proverbial?
Some people going to have to watch the round table from the glass. Because the truth of the matter is, we got a lot of us. And like you said before, when I was speaking about our own cancer, we got a lot of us that can help with the movement, but more in the way than they are helping the way. Because I can't bring an uneducated us to a table to have a conversation with my counterpart about how to fix a problem if you are the problem.
Exactly.
So I can't bring you to the meeting and you got cocaine in your pocket. You're going to make me look bad. And I'm trying to support you and help you push.
If you don't think Bishop Daryl Scott was on something, either he was on a chemical high or a money high. Because he sure didn't have anything to offer.
But see, it's
what are you knowing from? Let's stop right there. He represents who?
Yeah.
He's the guy at night that hawked Bibles on the Word Network.
I'ma
That's
say
all
like,
I know him from.
I'm going to say it like this.
He don't represent
just
me.
But I'm going to say it like this.
Oh,
from me to you to any other pastor,
yeah.
I would never ever, and I'll put this out in the airwaves, I say it to their face, I'll never ever disgrace another pastor because we all hold the same title. However, what a person does, he is responsible for on his own accord.
Right.
Now, with that being what it is, whatever he stood for, he don't speak for me.
Exactly.
Hold tight. But he's not speaking for the whole community. Because if that be the case, then what we've done is we put the burden of a few black voices to speak for the whole community.
We're saying the same thing.
Because Jesse, Al, this dude, we putting that burden on everybody else. So they can only speak for themselves. So when they act a fool, then are we to deny them because they say something less intelligent?
Well, this is my thing. If it's going to be a meeting of black minds that have affluence in the African-American community that lead us, where was Bishop Jakes? Why wasn't he invited?
That's something you got to ask Bishop
where
Jakes.
Was,
I can't speak
no,
for him.
No, but what I'm just throwing it out there. Where were the ones that have real influence? Where was Creflo Dollar? Where were the people that we would listen to? Why are there just black faces that are saying that they're leading us? Who said you're leading us? Who said that you speak for us? Mm. So first of all, you're
who
just...
Who gave them that title?
That's what I want to know. How did you get on the list? Because you don't represent me.
I'm saying, who said they was leading us?
Yeah, that's what it is. There was, wasn't it 100 black leaders?
Did it strike 100 black leaders?
100 black leaders.
But see, this,
did you miss the memo?
This becomes the problem. No, I didn't miss the memo. I ignored the memo. This be the problem. Because see, they don't want Justin at a table like that.
Okay.
Because not only am I going to say
you are your big brother Jamal. They don't want y'all.
I'm going to say what people need to hear.
Exactly.
Now, as far as Bishop Jakes go, I respect the man. I respect him greatly for his opinion and his knowledge. But my thing is this. If you're going to be the people's champ, then you need to be the champ of all people, not just the people that you choose. You understand what I'm saying? And I can't speak for him because I don't know where he was. It ain't my job to take up for him. I'm not his lawyer. Hold on.
Exactly.
I'm not his lawyer. I can't speak up for him.
Right.
I don't know where he was. He was probably having Mai Tai somewhere on the island. I don't know.
I think we're missing each other here. Because the reason I just threw that name out, I'm thinking if I'm Donald Trump and I want to speak to some leaders in the Christian community, African American community, I'm going to call real leaders. I wasn't saying that to pull a name. It's just a name that came up. I'm saying real leaders, not guys that are hawking Bibles on the Word Network after midnight.
You still can't be mad at
me. I'm not mad. But what I'm saying is you're pulling people that is going to promote your agenda. And tell me, Omarosa leads who? She can't even lead her own life. Okay, I'll pull that back. No, so, but what I'm saying
I'll
is
say
this.
It like this. I'll say it like this because them is some low blows and I hate
I did it.
People,
I did it.
But don't do that.
And
but,
my name is Prophetess Lakeisha Ice in West Palm Beach. You can find me there if you need me.
And as my friend, I support you 100%. If anybody say anything, I'm on
the fighting together. I pulled his weave up. But that's
what I'm, no, hey, listen, I ain't going to jail. I ain't doing no probationary activity. But what I'm saying is this, man. What I'm saying is this. Sometimes you have to use a name that will attract other names in order to push your agenda. It's not to say that they validate your agenda. It's not to say that they approve of your agenda. But sometimes, because it's like this.
But that's my point. They didn't use those names. Missing each other.
No. I understand what you're saying.
There is no spin meister like Donald Trump. Let's stop here. First of all, why are you even calling on Christian leaders when you have not shown any Christian characteristics?
Because you bring the two together and they should be separate.
Why did he bring them together?
Hold tight.
I'm just jumping off of what he did. And what I'm saying is there has been nothing about Donald Trump that says Christian. You make fun of the disabled. You put down those that they're stupid, they're ignorant, if they have an opposing opinion.
Okay, listen to this.
What?
Listen to this and let me help you. Let me help you.
We're on the same team.
No, we're not. Not on this.
Okay, let's go.
So let me help you as a friend.
Go ahead.
Real talk, I said it from the beginning, Christianity and politics need to be separate. However, Christians are still people.
Exactly.
We are defenders of the faith.
Correct.
We are not defenders of the United States of America. So what you have to do is, even if there is an evil present, but there's a worser evil, you have to choose between the lesser of the two. And the people that go to your church still got to vote.
Well, I agree.
So even if you're not fully on board with Donald Trump or fully on board with the other candidates, you got to pick the lesser of the two. So you have to bring Christians into this at some point because they still got to
vote. Bring Christians into it then. Don't bring pimps that need the paycheck.
I don't have nothing.
Okay.
I can't.
Okay.
I cannot defend.
Bring Christians that we see as honorable Christian people that really do represent us, that would go in there without an agenda, that's going to oppose you, Donald Trump, at your table.
No.
Don't bring in people that's gonna applaud everything you say and be a cheerleading squad and give a wonderful photo op. Get people to the table that really have influence, that are not just representing white Christians or black, but all people, like you said. You're right, Pastor Jay. But don't bring in people that you know are shoe-ins.
Let me say it like this, because you misunderstand it.
Because Bishop Bloom and them were cooning so hard, I felt embarrassed for them.
Listen.
Mm-hmm.